Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
John Heyman of MLB Network put out there yesterday on Twitter, the Rockies are said not to have the budget for any big signing at the moment. So barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar shortstop Trevor Story. Some thought that this could be coming, okay? But the sobering reality of it, that on the heels of Nolan and a $50 million check being written on his way out to take him, on the heels of that, the shortstop that Trevor Story is, you could argue he's top three in the league, to have him just play out his contract and walk away with nothing. I mean, just nothing. And also not willing to trade him and get something in return, that would sting too, but at least you could talk yourself into that's what's best for the organization. I'm just so discouraged. What was your take on this when you saw it yesterday?
Yeah, it's no surprise. Understand a couple of things here, Zach. Part of the reason and the motivation to move Nolan when they finally did was because Nolan was scheduled to make $35 million this year. By trading him, the amount they owe, is my understanding, this year to Nolan is $10 million. So they saved $25 million. And to do that, they have to ultimately pay out $51 million over the course of time. So it's like a bad bank loan where you need help up front, and you know then the fans are going to come back, and the monetary things that you've gone through with the COVID-19 will diminish. And so that they was like money laundering, if you will, not a baseball trade. And that's why they moved him, in part, was because it saved them essentially $25 million up front. They're not going to turn around and give that to Story. That never was the plan. And the second part of this is, based on people I know in the industry that I trust, there is no way Story would take a deal from them right now. So if they came to him and said, Trevor, whatever the deal is, 8-year, 250, similar to Nolan, or 9-year, 300, he would just say no because he's one of the top free agents in baseball. He would just say, trade me before July 31st, and then he'll get to pick where he wants to go as a free agent. Because I know he's cognizant of how it played out with Tulo and Arenado in the way that as soon as they got paid, there's this buyer's remorse feeling, and they become blamed for everything, even though they don't pitch, you know, and they don't fill out the lineup. And so I don't know why Story would take the money, and I would be shocked if they came to him if he would. Why wouldn't he just say no and wait till free agency? And so they trade him. That's what Holiday called their bluff. Trade me. I'm not signing. They trade him to Oakland. He lands in St. Louis and wins the World Series. So I see something like that happening with Trevor, where he gets traded and then he signs with a new team as a free agent after the season.
Man. Troy, we appreciate your time. Depressing nature at the end here, but it is the harsh reality that is the Colorado Rockies. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. See you. Take care.
Thanks, Troy.
All right, there he goes. Our Denver 7 Broncos Insider presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. I said earlier in the show we would circle back to it, and someone on the RamosLaw.com text line says, I become Circle Back Zach.
That's the only way that you remember anyway, if somebody brings it up, because you would have forgot.
I'm sure.
What are we circling back to?
A couple different things. I said earlier that I wanted to say something that I hadn't quite said about the Rocky situation, and I don't think I've said something like this during the years that we've done this radio show, because I don't like, you don't like calling for someone's job. You don't want to say, hey, sell the team.
Is that what you're going to say, sell the team?
I think that Dick Monfort should sell the team, because what is the point of having a team if you can't pay your very best players and some of the best players you've had in organizational history? If you cannot survive from a payroll standpoint after the faucet is shut off for just one season, and you still have your TV money coming in, and it's not a great deal, but if you can't pay the greatest players in the history of your organization, and you're writing a $50 million check so you can get off the hook for another 150, and you have one of the bright young shortstops in the game who does everything the right way, he's the definition of a five-tool cat, and you can't even make an attempt to sign him, I just don't know if you qualify. And I'm not saying like Dick Monfort's a bad guy because I don't believe that. But if you don't have the qualifications from a resource standpoint to operate, I should you really have a baseball team?
Right. Yeah, it's tough. Listening to these guys over here.
They have like a party down the hall.
They're having a party, and I asked them very nicely to be quiet once, and they, still having the party, and then I text Richie to go ask them, and I hear them, I can hear what they're responding to Richie. I can hear it. They don't care. They don't care.
They don't care.
I got D-Mac. You got Columbus. I'll take care of D-Mac really quickly. He's lost a lot of weight. Good for him, but he's lighter in the britches.
It's going to turn into a two-on-one real quick.
Yeah. It'll only take about 10 seconds, and then me and you a tag team on Columbus. He's got an awful back, bad shoulders, bad neck, et cetera. So that probably two-on-one, we got it.
I love it.
No, it's a tough deal. And, obviously the landscape and the economics have changed since Dick Monfort has bought the team. I don't even know when that was. Has he owned it the whole time?
Yeah.
But when you don't have the deep pockets, like you said, and it's more evident now when we look across the street and we see the Padres and what their owner's doing, and they're a smaller market than us, right?
Yep.
And he's just spending because he's got, worth $3
billion. Yep.
And like you brought up, Dick Monfort's worth hundreds of millions. He doesn't have a B in front of his name.
No.
And he's not, and so I can see it from his perspective. He's like, hey, this is my team. I'm not going to sell it. This is just the way that we got to operate. A lot of teams have to operate it like this, operate and manage their organization the way that we do, smaller markets, when you look around the league.
Yep.
But I think it's more and more evident now with some of the deep, deep pockets that are owning these franchises and them not really caring about the bottom line and them saying, hey, I want to win. This is my hobby. This isn't something that I'm grinding over and I don't really care about the bottom line.
Yep.
It's more obvious now. So, I think a lot of people are with you when you say that. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. Like you said, you made a great point. When you can't keep your own best ones, and they paid a lot of money. They had a high payroll a few years ago.
They did.
But when you look at it, like you said right now, when you don't have the money coming in, all of a sudden you got to get rid of your best player and $50 million, and then your next best player is going to walk out of the door in a year, or you might have to trade him here by the deadline. Like, that's not fun.
No.
Why can't, It's not the way to operate.
Like Dick Monfort bought the Rockies. The expansion fee back in 1993 was $190 million. The current franchise valuation, according to the LA Times of an article done in 2020, the current franchise valuation is $1.275 billion. Okay. The reality is that if Dick Monfort tried to get into the game today from scratch, he wouldn't have enough money. He got in early enough, but he can't exist in today's economic landscape. So much so, like I said, he wouldn't even be qualified to buy a franchise. He doesn't have that kind of money. So I just think when you have a certain responsibility when you own a sports franchise. There's more to it than just the bottom line. Yes, it is a business, but you also have a certain level of responsibility. And when you can't fulfill that responsibility, it's not just disappointing. Because it's not his fault. You're not even qualified to do it. You don't have that much money. And because that's the reality, the team is what it is. And it's just,
Well, you see that in sports landscape. all across, you know, sports, right? Different, the major sports leagues. It's happened. It happened in football, and it's still happening. Right? I was a part of Art Modell and the Baltimore Ravens. Art didn't have any money compared to the owners at that time. He was so leveraged, and guess what happened? They made Art sell the team. He didn't have the big pocketbook. So now a billionaire buys him out. Okay? And you see this stuff happening all the time. When you know, you have, I mean, you can look right here with the Bolins. I mean, you know, you look at that kind of how long they've owned the team, and you look around, you know, the other owners and what they're worth. It's staggering.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing can be said for, you know, baseball, because the prices of these franchises have skyrocketed so much. And when you don't have a salary cap like baseball.
Right.
There's no salary cap.
Right.
Which is just awful. It's awful. There's no floor. There's no ceiling. You know, you might have the luxury tax or whatever, but
sure.
That doesn't make up for
it.
It's
anything goes.
Yes, it's awful for the small market teams. They just get outbid, and it's an issue. But it's an issue when you don't have an owner with deep pockets, especially in baseball.
Yep.
And in football, look, there's a cap, and you know. Most owners, they're not hurting because the revenue is just flowing.
Right. And especially in the NL West. When you look at, you know, a guy like Mark Walter for
Marky.
The Dodgers. Like, he's worth $3.4 billion. Like, he's the CEO of Guggenheim Partners. It's a, you know, privately held global financial service firm.
Right.
I mean, they manage $290 billion in assets.
Guggenheim?
They can spend the money. It's not an issue.
No. What does he care?
Those are the Rockies' neighbors. These other neighbors are, you know, knocking down the house just to do a rebuild.
Yeah.
Rockies can barely afford the HOA fee.
That hurt. That ain't cool. Take that back.
Is this a sad reality?
It stinks. It does. And like, especially when you start talking about it like this, it's not like all of a sudden the Rockies are going to be able to do what the Padres did.
Right.
Where they say, you know, we're going to trade for Machado and we're going to end up re-signing him to over a $300 million deal. We're going to get Hosmer in free agency. We got these couple young guys coming up. We got a good, farm system, and we're going to continue to be aggressive. We can spend money. The Rockies can't. We're just losing players, losing money. I mean, the only way, I mean, how do you get an owner to sell a team? I mean, just, you got to stop showing up until he looks at it as a losing proposition,
right,
and says, let me get my bill.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and get my $1 billion now. I'm out of this.
Check, please.
Yeah. Time to go home. Time to retire.
Waiter, can you bring the check? Do I have to tip? Now, you got McGregor Square being built. Now, he's got hundreds of millions tied up in
that. That's all his?
In that. He's a big part of it. I don't know if it's all his, but it's...
Bad timing on that, right?
Really bad timing. Is that
affecting his baseball operations? And how... I mean, is that why? Do you think part of that is why Nolan is gone? Because, you know, you got money tied up in that, and that's not looking good, right, you know, for the foreseeable future here, right?
Yeah.
So, is that costing us Trevor Story? Is that costing us Nolan?
I think it's reasonable to think that way.
It's not helping, I can tell you that.
And like you said, what bad timing. What bad timing that, and this is not his fault necessarily, but that project is fully, you know, underway, and it's a massive investment the same year that a pandemic hits. It's just bad timing. It's like releasing a book the week you're, you know, starting as a quarterback here in Denver.
That's your guy.
When do we want to release the book, Case? Let's do it right before week one.
Yeah.
When I'm going to try to become a franchise quarterback. Let's release the book then.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Zach, I appreciate all your points, but you've repeatedly said you'll be out at the ballpark this year. You'll be going to games. Put your money where your mouth is, homeboy. That's on the RamosLaw.com text line. Put your name on it.
So here's the
thing.
How
do you view that?
So here's the thing. The fact that I would have to boycott in order for Dick Monfort to feel pressure to sell the team is the point of what I'm trying to say is why he should. Like, we shouldn't need to boycott the games in order for Dick Monfort to get the message. The message is that we can't pay our players. We couldn't pick up a $2 million option on David Dahl. And
well, they could have.
They could have, but they didn't.
Right, but they didn't want to. They're penny pinching.
They are penny pinching to the nth degree. And I, you know.
But that's the only way because, look, fans go to the games.
Yep.
The owner's going to make his money, right? He's going to make his money. And so why would you sell your team if you're going to be making money? The only way you're going to get the owner's attention to say, I need to get out of this, is if he starts losing money, which apparently they probably have been.
They have here this past year.
But if he starts recouping that and everything gets back to normal, why would he think about selling a team that he's making money on?
Right. Well,
you have to stop going to the game,
well,
Zach. Have to stop going. That's the only way to get that owner's attention.
I've raised my hand. I've raised my hand on this one, and I've said it into this microphone. If me wanting a Saturday experience with my family or catching up with a buddy over a Major League Baseball game, if that makes me the problem, and you're going to transfer
you're part of the problem, Zach. Yes, you are.
And that's what I'm saying.
Right.
If that makes me part of the problem, then you can book me down as part of the problem.
Well, then don't complain about Dick Monfort being the owner then.
No, because it's not a chicken or the egg scenario.
I don't know what you're talking about with that chicken and egg, but I'm just telling you, in this situation, you're part of the problem. And if you continue to enable the guy that you have an issue with to continue to make money, don't complain about him being the owner. And don't tell him to sell the team.
Those two things shouldn't be mutually exclusive. Like,
once again, you're confusing me with all this exclusivity and stuff. I'm just telling you.
Look, both things are the same. It's not. Dick Monfort is not in a financial position to own a baseball team. That is not.
He is.
That is. No, he's not because it's proof positive that they can't pay the players. So.
He can pay the players. He's paid the players, Zach. He has paid the players. He has done it. We've seen it. They had a top 7, 8, 10, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was a top 10 payroll.
Top 10 payroll a few years ago. He can do it. He's paid a lot of money to his players. He's done it. For whatever reason now, they are flipping the script. Is that because of that project going on where they got a lot of money invested in that plus the pandemic? All of this stuff.
I think it's those two together.
Yeah. But the only way to get somebody's attention is when they look in the stands and they see fans not there, and they see the gate revenue and everything else going down. Their pocketbook is going down. And now they just say, okay, we gave it a good run. But if you continue to enable him to operate like this and not pay if he doesn't want to pay and pay $50 million to take a guy and not pay Trevor Story, if you want to try to, you know, not have that happen, well, you got to stop going.
So here's the thing. Okay, so let's play that game then.
Okay.
So I have to stop going to the games. James Merrillat is going to stop going to the game. Are you going to stop going to the games?
Me? No, I really don't care. If I want to go to the game, I'm going to the stinking game.
Okay.
So, no, I'm not going to stop going. Will I go this year? If my son is nice and he doesn't fail at any of his classes, I'll probably take him to the game.
Okay. And I pushed James on that, too, because James says he's boycotting. I said, James, how old is your son? He's like 9 or something. I go, if your 9-year-old comes to you and wants to go to a Major League Baseball game, you're going to say no out of principle to battle Dick Monfort, who has no idea who you are? But let's just play the game.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I boycott, you boycott, Merrillat boycotts,
yep.
John Sammer boycotts, Richie's boycott, we all boycott, right? You turn on the TV. Are you going to watch the Rockies games?
Sure.
Okay. Turn on the TV.
I still watch them. I'll be off and on.
It's filled. Because here's a newsflash. There's not going to be a big enough boycott for Coors Field not to be drawing great attendance numbers. Top 10.
You think so?
I know so.
You do?
Yes. Because not enough people care the way that we do. There's someone who moved here from Chicago. The Cubs are going to be in town. They're going to go to the game.
Sure.
And same thing with all these visiting teams. I see
Cubs
it. I'm
fans.
There.
Cubs fans.
I see, yeah. They still got the sticker on the championship shirt from 2016, whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to be there. St. Louis Cardinals fans are going to be there. Yankees fans, Mets fans, they're all going to be there. And then you're going to have you know, just average Joes who don't, like, get too far in the weeds of this conversation. And of all the professional sporting experiences, if you have a family, the cheapest way to do it is going to Coors Field. And you're going to have enough just people who want experience. They want to get out of the house, an open air stadium, a perfect, you know, on the party deck.
Texas, baby. Tennessee. It's all out. We can go.
Texas, hey, anything
goes,
baby.
Let's go.
But it's, so you're not, here's the reality. You are not going to move the needle in the way.
That's a long way to look at it, though.
It's too idealistic. It's too principled that we're going to do the right thing here and Dick's going to pay. We're going to make him pay. It's not going to matter. Dick's going to get his money. So am I going to punish myself and my friend who's in town? We can go to Coors Field because I'm so principled that I got to show Dick Mumford he's not getting a cent of my money. I just don't think. You know, it's like putting a bucket of oil into the ocean. You know, obviously you don't want that to happen, but it ain't moving the needle. There's too many gallons in there. And I think that that's what this little boycott is going to do. Not much of anything.
Well, you know, it just depends on how strongly you feel. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah.
But I tell you what else will get their attention is when you start looking at season tickets. And the cancelization of those and people not renewing those.
All of a sudden,
if you see those dropping dramatically, you know, that's the thing that they hang their hats on. You know, game tickets can go up and down and it depends on who they're playing, but those season tickets, you need those sold. And if those start decreasing in a big way, that's a big part of it also. But for me, look, I'll go. I got no problem going to a game or two. But it's just frustrating. It's frustrating. But, you know, I don't feel about Dick Mumford the way that you do. It's a bummer, though. It's a bummer. I'm not sitting there going to say that, you know, I think he should sell the team. Rockies would probably be in a much better spot if he did, obviously, because who's buying the team?
Right. A billionaire.
And if the billionaire, every billionaire is different, though. You follow me?
Sure.
And that billionaire with San Diego, the Padres, he don't care.
But whatever billionaire.
Some of them looking at the bottom line.
Sure. Sure.
But go ahead.
I'll say,
right.
Whatever billionaire would come in here, you'd be in a better financial position than they are now.
A whole lot better. A whole lot better. And you wouldn't have just paid Nolan to leave. I guarantee you that. Trevor Story would be locked up. It's just kind of the way it is. And baseball sees a lot of that. A lot of it. And you've seen the soaring prices of these franchises and, you know, where they were 10, 15 years ago and where they are now. And you're talking about, you know, you're talking about 30 years ago, 25 years ago. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so you got the haves and the have nots. Especially
the
in baseball.
Yeah.
Especially in baseball.
Yeah,
There's no cap.
Okay. Going to play a little game.
Silly game?
It is a silly game, actually.
Oh, Vic.
When it comes to the Denver Broncos and the quarterback position, a little game called What If I Told You? Coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Speaking of gangsters and wangsters.
In high school, you was the man.
What the heck happened to you?
I love that part. I love it.
Did you see Chad Kelly's tweet?
No, I must have, no.
Within the last 24 hours?
No, I haven't. Is he retiring from the NFL?
No, just the opposite.
Oh,
he
come
said,
back.
Quote, man, I just want to play ball! ! I swear I'm going to make whoever and whatever team it is proud and happy! Should the Denver Broncos drop everything and pursue Chad Kelly?
Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. You know, the what could have been.
You know, that's
my dream. I mean, that's not even, that's the dumbest question you've ever asked. You know the answer. The Machine Gun Kelly should be in a Broncos uniform this year.
You know.
That would spice up the quarterback conversation.
Man.
Look, man, it's a shame. It really is. It's a little bit sad. He knew what he had to do. and the Broncos were giving him a great opportunity here.
Great opportunity.
But he knew he had to stay clean and stay out of trouble. And he was doing a good job of it. And
he was.
Then just all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, one thing happens and it's game over for Chad Kelly. And he's never gotten the opportunity like he had here.
Nope.
Now, he was with the Colts and, you know, practice squad, but By the way,
more favors for Uncle Jim.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Frank Wright.
Right. Yeah.
Jim's backup for years.
So, you know, that's what got him the opportunity here, obviously, Jim Kelly and John Elway.
That's right.
But he was doing well with it.
He was, man.
He really was doing well with it. And
when we got to see him in preseason, it looked pretty good.
Looked really good. Looked really good. Got me excited. And then, you know, he screwed up in a big, big way. And that's what happens. But you can't be talking about, you know, how much you want to play ball and just give me an opportunity. You've had those.
Yeah.
And that's the problem here. You know, you needed to realize then that this is it.
Mm.
You got to do everything. Just don't even go out. And he was doing a good job of kind of staying in. But you just can't. You got to realize that it's one and done here. Now, you can't screw up at all. There's no more opportunity, especially if you screw up the way that he did.
Right.
But years later, you're like, oh, hey, let me back in. No. It's game over,
he
man.
That's blew the it, NFL. Man.
Every year, new guys come out. There's new Chad Kellys, man.
Yeah, oh, they're
right?
Everywhere.
I mean, because they're not going to sit here and be patient with you, Chad Kelly, and give you, you know, ample time and opportunities. It's just not going to happen.
Was he a Mr. Irrelevant pick? I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
He was, right?
I was calling for it. You can ask Kliss.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, I said, hey, do.
We were there, and I said,
because we're at the facility.
Yeah. I said, Broncos need to get Chad Kelly, Mr. Irrelevant, or something like that, or with their seventh-round pick or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
And he looked good. He looked good. Now, obviously, just preseason, but he would have gotten a real opportunity here.
Yep, he would have. I mean,
like football time.
Yes,
Think about the quarterbacks that have played.
Yeah, right.
They might not have drafted Drew Lock.
Could you imagine? If Chad Kelly flashed the way that Drew did in his five games, it's interesting.
He had something about him that made you really intrigued and like him.
Yep.
He did. He was tough. He was going to hang in the pocket. He had that Brett Favre, just
kind of gunslinger
mentality.
Yep.
That's what he had.
Yep.
And he was just a tough, just like Brett Favre. But he just blew his one and only opportunity.
Think about what you said. Chad Kelly, man, he was just like Brett Favre.
I realize that. But you know what I'm talking about. With the mindset. He's not scared to make tough throws and tough decisions and try to thread the needle and all those things. And when he runs, he'll try to put his head down and get those extra couple yards. He'll hang in the pocket, take the big hits.
Yep. Nope, that's who Brett was. He was not scared. Should I send this to her? Yeah, what's the worst that can happen? Send it to her. No fear in Brett.
Mm. Oh, gotcha. Massage therapist.
Oh.
Yeah, why not?
What's the worst that can happen? It won't get out. The real thing that I was teasing into before the commercial break. We've been talking here on this show that, hey, why don't we see Broncos drafting a quarterback in the top 10 on any of these mock drafts? Well, Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network, she put together a mock draft using basically, you know, analytical data and came up with an equation and a formula to, you know, how the first round was going to fall out. All right. She ultimately had the Broncos selecting Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State. If I said, hey, I've been to the future, I was there on draft night in April, and I'm back here to tell you, like Marty McFly, that the Broncos are going to draft Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State, you would say what?
I'm nervous. Ohio State, quarterback. We saw it just happen with Dwayne Haskins. It just makes me nervous. It would make me very nervous. I would still be excited because it's a quarterback position.
Yeah.
and I'd keep my fingers crossed that this guy would be the answer, that he would be the quarterback that we've looked for here since Peyton Manning, and we don't have to look for another one.
Yep.
But I would be I'd be nervous, but I would be excited also about the potential of not having to find another quarterback. How about you? How did you feel?
I think I'd be optimistic for optimism's sake.
Mm.
It's a quarterback. It's a fresh start. Let me go into this with an open mind. If you told me that Mac Jones was still on the board and they drafted Justin Fields, I'm not sure. I think I might take Trey Lance over Justin Fields. You know, you brought up the Ohio State thing. When is an Ohio State quarterback, like, when's the last time one of those guys worked out? Now, I said this to you earlier, let's not hold the sins of the father against the son.
Well, we can't do that.
But Dwayne Haskins did throw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. It didn't look like he could throw two in any game that
in
he played.
In his career, he threw 50?
In the last season, he threw 50.
Mm.
50 touchdown passes.
And he can't even throw the ball in the NFL now. Right. I mean, he can't even throw the ball. He can't process anything. He was just awful.
Do you remember who the highly touted, I don't know about highly touted, but the quarterback previous to Dwayne Haskins that got drafted in the NFL?
Previous to Dwayne Haskins. Huh.
Let me give you a clue here. He was...
Who's he drafted by?
The Buffalo Bills. He was a mid-round guy. I shouldn't say.
I should know this.
I misspoke when I said
no,
highly
that's
touted.
Okay. I should know this.
I think he like played in the national championship game.
Who is it?
Cardell Jones.
Oh, that's right. He won a national championship as like a freshman.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
Bama. He was unbelievable.
He looked great. 6'5".
Huge.
He was huge. He's listed at 260. But by the end, he was on that Kelvin Benjamin diet.
Yeah. 325.
Hey, Kelvin, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Going to guard.
Who was the quarterback before that?
Where did this guy go? I know one quarterback, and I'm going to give you a guess on one guy I remember from Ohio State, Troy Smith.
Troy Smith.
That was before Cardell?
No. That was wait. Did Troy Smith win the Heisman?
Yeah, he went to the Ravens.
The quarterback before that, he got drafted by, I'm sorry, he went undrafted. I apologize. But JT Barrett. Remember the name JT Barrett?
Yep.
Quarterback for that? Braxton Miller.
Wow.
Really, I mean, going in the way back machine here.
Yeah, you can't, you know, like you said, you can't hold this and say, I'm not drafting this guy because of what those guys did before. You know, we've talked about Patrick Mahomes and the Texas Tech quarterbacks, which ones are great out of Texas Tech. None of them ever become, you know, that good in the NFL.
Right.
Air raid system, guys are open everywhere. Well, this guy's turned out to be pretty good. So you can't lump them all together. That's a little bit foolish. It's like D-Max saying, don't draft somebody in the 20s. Well,
right.
Somebody's good there. You gotta right, draft them. You're not gonna pass because you're drafted 22. But it is alarming. It is alarming. And I think you have to look at it a little bit from that perspective, but you do your due diligence. The national championship game obviously wasn't great for him. The semifinals game was.
It was terrific for him.
But he had a couple weeks there where towards the end of the season where he wasn't playing good ball.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He wasn't playing good ball. And, you know, because he started off hot. Now you look at the COVID stuff. They had a lot of guys out, in and out of the lineup, all those things. So obviously it's a really hard year to evaluate, especially with limited film. They only played like 6, 7, 8 games, right?
Yeah. And in the case of Trey Lance, you're talking about one.
Right. Trey Lance, one game. So it's a really difficult year. And I think you're going to have a team or two that's actually gets really lucky and is fortunate because of that, where teams are scared to draft a guy like Trey Lance.
Right.
Because, you know, he played a year ago, and then this year they only played one game, and they opted out as, the team didn't play. So, you know, I think a lot of teams early on might be hesitant to draft him. And if they do, he might fall, and, you know, next thing you know, you get Aaron Rodgers, because teams are just scared of his situation.
Right.
Now, he could go top five, obviously. Just takes one.
Yep.
Quarterback position.
Yep.
But it's tough. It's a tough year. It's a tough year because the lack of any kind of consistency with a with programs. COVID, opt-outs, all these things. But Justin Fields, look, quarterback position, okay. Played at Ohio State. He's tough. He's mobile. He's an athletic guy.
He is.
I think he's a bigger guy, too. I mean, 6'4", 6'5", 6'3", 6'2".
Covered it all there.
Well, I'm waiting for you to say he's 6 something.
He is...
6'4 and a half would be my guess.
6'3".
Okay. How much does he weigh?
Go ahead and guess.
232?
Really close. 228.
So he's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Mobile guy.
He's muscular, too. He's not like, you look at Zach Wilson, he's like more slight.
Right.
Justin Fields.
And that slightness, you know, is like Drew Lock. It scares you a little bit.
Because
you're going to take some hits. I mean, can you withstand the pounding of a NFL football season?
Right.
With those hits. If
right.
you're not the biggest guy, it's hard to do that. Like a guy like Russell Wilson's not big, but he's stocky.
Right.
He's put together.
Yep.
So, it would excite me because it's a quarterback position. This guy's played at a big time school. Obviously it wouldn't be my favorite selection, but I think you said it well, cautiously optimistic or optimistic for optimistic's sake, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
Either one sounds good to me.
What about Terrell Pryor at Ohio State?
He ended up becoming a really good wide receiver.
He had a 1,000-yard season at one point.
Yep. He was a really good wide receiver, and he just kind of, I don't know. It just went, you know.
Did he get in trouble?
He got him and his girl got in a little tussle, and he got stabbed and almost died. And, you know, just.
Oh, my God. No, that's right.
Yeah. No big. He's all right. No big.
My gosh, these guys.
Terrell Pryor, yeah. I think he started with the Raiders, maybe.
He did. He did.
But I look at him, and I think if it was more today's NFL, he would have been more successful at quarterback.
Mm.
With the zone option, the RPOs and things like that. I mean, he would have been perfect in that type of scheme.
Didn't Terrell Pryor, like, set some sort of a touchdown record run? It was like a 93 yard touchdown run.
Oh, I don't recall that.
I think it was like the longest run in NFL history for a quarterback.
Mm, really?
I think it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, right up the gut, man. I remember it stuck out. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's running past the entire defense. He was a really good athlete.
Yeah.
Look, if you can convert like that at the professional level, this isn't like Caleb Farley showing up at Virginia Tech as a wide receiver and converting to a corner. This is in the NFL going from quarterback to wide receiver and then being a 1,000-yard wide receiver. That's a different kind of athlete, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. No doubt, dude.
Sold all his stuff from the Big Ten Championship, the tattoo parlor. Remember?
Just stuff like that. Just, you know, that's when I think the NCAA is just nitpicking and just,
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this conversation right now, hold on. I had a conversation on Monday morning with a very influential person in our business. Okay. And we got into I've had this as a sprinkle for a couple days now, the name, image, likeness conversation.
Yeah.
Listen to me closely, everyone. And I swear to God, this thing right here is going to change the entire game. It's going to change everything. The landscape of college athletics, it's totally going to be flipped on its head. Let me give you an example. And these were examples that were...
Are you telling us something that's like a hot take here?
No. I'm telling you what the future is.
Yeah.
This is just the first time you're hearing it. But I'm telling you, remember...
I've never heard this before?
No.
Okay.
So
Well,
after week two, okay. I said, hey, the sack totals are going to be down because the holding's up. Just... You know, when we went into the bubble and I said, you're going to see some of the highest shooting percentages in NBA history because the closed-in backgrounds and the depth perception. So this is.
But the other one wasn't that good. The other one was, you know, that was because of, you know, we had an article on that. You didn't come up with that yourself.
Fine. Take that one. I'll take the other W.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll meet you in the middle.
You got a tie on that other one. 1-0-1. Go ahead. Let's see here. If this is a good take or not.
The name, image, likeness conversation is going, we can't see, it'd be like me trying to explain what social media was to you 20 years ago. It just wouldn't compute. I don't have a frame of reference to try to make sense of this. The name, image, and likeness conversation in this country is going to change so dramatically. Let me paint a picture for you. An entire recruitment
of a player is based around name, image, likeness. Not the institution or the coach or the history of it. But they will each have a name, image, likeness, almost agent for the university that will paint the picture for the athlete how you can make the most money at this institution. Instead of press conferences on Tuesday, you're going to host it live on your own Twitch channel. And I'm going to set it up with the local media. And people, if they want to watch out in the community, they can watch, but it's going to be on your Twitch channel. And that's how we're going to create exposure for you. It's like when I think of name, image, likeness, I was thinking like, yeah, you're going to get a slice of the video game in your jersey sales.
Yeah.
This is going to be entirely taken over where the recruiting pitches from the university are going to be solely based around the name at the highest level anyways. Around name, image, and likeness, because they have a battle on their hands now with the NBA and what they're trying to do with their G League team in Southern California, where these guys can make 500 grand. These universities are going to try their best to close that gap, and it's going to be the wild, wild west here in the next decade as soon as this thing gets passed.
That was good. That was good. I thought you were going to go down the road of the EA Sports and that stuff. But that was a good take there. That was a good one. Surprised me a little bit, a lot.
Like imagine Zion Williamson getting paid six figures to be on a weekly podcast when he was at Duke.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I hate it. I hate it. I think it's awful. I just think it ruins.
It feels like college sports is losing its virginity.
What?
Yeah. Let it sink in. The innocence and the purity. The innocence and the purity of amateur sports is going to be taken. That kid at Duke is going to make more money than anyone in your family, and he's a freshman. Like
but I don't like, I know what you're saying. What I hate is,
and I'm not saying it's a good thing either.
No, I know. What I hate is you're coming to these high school kids and you're pitching them on being able to sell their brand.
Yep.
And whoever does it the best, and you're going to have. It's already hard enough to police boosters and giving money, but now when these kids are making this money, you're opening up a Twitch channel or whatever. I mean, how are you going to stop these boosters from easily being able to manipulate that system now that it's really open and these kids are receiving money and now they're in college, they're driving a Lamborghini.
Yes.
They're driving,
yes.
A Bentley in college.
Yes.
That to me is just it's crazy, and I understand the world is changing and universities make a lot of money, coaches make a lot of money. I get it. Athletes should be compensated to a certain degree, but to me, opening up those doors is just insane. I think it ruins not only college sports, but I think it's going to be to the detriment of these kids. They get to college, you start making all this money, and then what happens in 2 years? Now, if you're a college football player, okay, you're some hotshot recruit, number one recruit in the country, you go, and all of a sudden you're making six figures in college. Well, you stop working.
Mm. Yep.
I don't need to listen to these coaches. Stop grinding.
I'm sure some will.
A lot will.
A lot will. Sure.
You're not, you're not hungry anymore. You got it. But you only got a little piece of it. And then in 3 years, you don't even make it to the NFL and you're washed out and you're broke. But if it was the other way, at least you get to the NFL, your first round draft pick, you got that 5-year contract, whatever it is, and things turn out a lot different. So I think it will hurt a lot of athletes, do more harm than good. But like you said, the NCAA right now is holding on for dear life.
They are. It's self-preservation right now.
Right.
It's self-preservation.
What do you need? Y'all need the transfer rule?
Yeah.
You want transfer? Okay, we don't want to get a headache. You can transfer. Do whatever you want.
Yep.
You want this?
Yep.
Yep. Coach leave, you can do this. Okay. Yep, you're right. They're just trying to persevere through this storm and make it out to the other side and still be alive.
It's a fascinating conversation because the current construct where basically everyone around the universities, the presidents, the ADs, the TV companies, everyone's making money off the kids. So it's an interesting relationship because this is jumping the shark. I'm telling you, the number one recruiters in the country, these top assistant basketball coaches that are recruiters that are highly sought after, be talking kids into the program,
the money man.
Those people are going to turn into the name, image, likeness agents and pitch these kids on how they can make money, not why they should come to the school and be successful.
It's like
very interesting conversation.
Hey, happy birthday. I thought it was today. It's next week. I planned something for you.
Yeah.
So let's go
you
piss
hit my
off.
Wife up. And
yeah.
My
last
wife,
night, planned it out.
My wife goes, he probably thinks I'm the worst wife because I had nothing planned on his birthday.
Said, she was like, no, he's free. Do whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's great.
Hey, if you get a second and you want to read exactly how I got from Albany, New York to Denver, Colorado. There's a really cool
you
article.
The mountaintop, brother. You're working with the best, and you know you couldn't be blessed more.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
How that all? And I mean, how many times my name was not mentioned at all? Like one time. Like goodness gracious, we've been working for 4 years together. Great article. Go look at it on Zach By's Twitter, my Twitter, Barrett Sport Media. It's all over the place. Really, really great article. Well done. You'll appreciate Zach even more. So
good stuff.
Now let's go to Stanley's.
Let's go have a cigar.
Let's go have a cigar. Celebrate your birthday 1 week early.
I love it. John Simmer behind the glass. We appreciate you. We step aside. We got the drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.